Chapter 33. Entry into Jerusalem. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Matthew 18:82. Lynn was the cradle of Christian Science, and for that will be as remembered as Bethlehem. But as 1882 dawned, the infant had outgrown his cradle. Mid-January found the Eddies in Washington, D.C., where Dr. Eddy spent much of his time researching the copyright laws as a protection for science and health. On the 20th of January, Mrs. Eddy wrote to Julia Bartlett, January 20th, 1882. Julia S. Bartlett, My dear student, Your precious letter I have just finished reading, and never was I more thankful than to hear that one of my students, whom I know is exercised by love to God and man, is at work after the long night of struggle. Like Jacob, you have wrestled and prevailed, and now I will rest in hope once more. This sheet is all I have unpacked. Like the stone for Jacob's pillow was your entrance into our church and the dear associations with it. Oh, my darling girl, all I ask is that the ladder of light shall rest upon it, and on this ladder you go up higher until the things that eye hath not seen appear and we meet in spirit, no more to part. There should be a substitute for me to lead this people. And now, dear student, I ask you, will you take this place? Not that you can unloose the latchet of my shoes, not that you can fill my place, but only that I think you rather more fit for it than anyone whom I leave. Now do not yield to temptation and say you cannot, but, quote, if you love me, keep my commandments, end quote. The charge is simply this. See that the Christian work of this church is preserved, and dear Mrs. Whiting will help you. She has qualities of inspiration that are glorious, and this is needed. Now, dear, remember that Mrs. Choate is a sister in our church and doing much good for our cause in selling books and bearing testimony for Christ. This I beg, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that no root of bitterness springs up among you, that no pride comes up or vain inquiry, who shall be greatest? But remember, I have made myself the servant that I might lead others to Christ. Farewell. May our Father bring us together again to cooperate in his cause. Lovingly, M. B. G. Eddy. Mrs. Eddy was advising her students as Jesus had advised his. And he, Jesus, came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. Mrs. Eddy had made herself the servant of all, and her life was one of self-sacrifice. Her students could no more fill her shoes than the disciples could fill those of Jesus. But several had thought that they could, and most were more concerned with their own stature than with following their leader. Pride and contention over who should be the greatest made them poor soldiers in the war to overcome error with truth. In a letter to Mrs. Choate, the leader wrote, "This is the whole of the disaster in all cases, that my students will not accept in time my advice, or take only part of it. What would a general do in a fight with such soldiers or officers? It would defeat every battle, and so it is doing." But Mrs. Eddy moved forward, with or without the support of her students. Soon after their arrival in Washington, she had a circular and the following card printed: "You are respectfully invited to attend a course of lectures by Mrs. Eddy, author of Science and Health, at 13 First Street, Northeast, commencing February 10th. First lecture free. Colonel and Mrs. Eldridge J. Smith, who had been studying Science and Health and corresponding with its author since 1876, were in attendance. And they were far from alone in this freer atmosphere, removed from the malpractice of Lynn, Boston, and environs. The audience at these Washington lectures numbered about 50. By the end of the month, her lecture course was completed. She wrote to Clara Choate on the 25th of February, "I have worked harder here than ever. 14 consecutive evenings, I have lectured 3 hours, besides what else I am about. Get to bed at 12, rise at 6, and work." Quote, "besides what else I am about," end quote, covered a great deal of territory, not the least being the healing that occurred wherever Mrs. Eddy went. One instance of healing during her sojourn in Washington, D.C. was as follows. Mrs. Eddy aroused the interest of the clergyman whose church they attended in Washington. He requested the privilege of calling upon her, which was granted, and he listened with interest to her explanations of the Bible and Christian Science. As the dinner hour approached, he requested the privilege of remaining for the sociability, explaining that he could not partake of the repast because a stomach ailment of many years had developed, according to the physicians, into cancer of the stomach, causing him to confine himself to a fluid diet exclusively. Mrs. Eddy said that this was a good time to test the facts they had just been discussing. His reply was that he could hardly afford to do that for the sake of killing himself, to which she voiced the truth and asserted his ability to eat in comfort. At the table, he completely forgot his fears and partook heartily of the meal, afterward exclaiming, quote, "What have I done? Will I ever survive?" End quote. Mrs. Eddy assured him that he could not suffer, and he did not, nor ever again. A few days after the Eddy's arrival in the capital city, the youthful Charles J. Guiteau was found guilty of assassinating President Garfield. Mrs. Eddy analyzed the case, but she did not leave it there. Orders had been issued that only relatives would be allowed to visit the prisoner. but the Washington Post stated on February 13th, "A number of people were granted the privilege yesterday of looking at Gatto in his cell, but only a few were allowed to converse with him, and none on matters relating to his execution or the trial. One of the few was Mary Baker Eddy. Her account of this situation is the starting point for the present-day metaphysician, for he must understand her strict classification of the mental stages of crime in order to solve the problem of the insane criminality of these latter days." The mental stages of crime, which seem to belong to the latter days, are strictly classified in metaphysics as some of the many features and forms of what is properly denominated, in extreme cases, moral idiocy. I visited in his cell the assassin of President Garfield and found him in the mental state called moral idiocy. He had no sense of his crime, but regarded his act as one of simple justice, and himself as the victim. My few words touched him. He sank back in his chair, limp and pale. His flippancy had fled. The jailer thanked me and said, "Other visitors have brought to him bouquets, but you have brought what will do him good." James Ackland was expecting the Eddies to come to Philadelphia in March and had made preparations for their stay. Very early in the month, Mrs. Eddy was teaching a group of students in that city. She wrote of this activity to Colonel and Mrs. Smith in Washington. She also encouraged them to continue their meetings, stating, "Do not, as you love me and love truth, omit your Sunday meetings. A real revival in metaphysics is going on in Boston because my dear students there are carrying out my advice to keep up these meetings in my absence. Heal the sick." About the same time, she wrote to Julia Bartlett, who was now living and working with Mrs. Whiting in the Boston area. The two women were meeting with success after a period of difficulties and sore trials. Mrs. Eddy's letter of March 14th said, "My very dear student, you don't know how much joy your letters give me. I knew it was best for me to do as the husbandman. Go away and then see if you all did not add many more talents to those you already had. Yes, dearest one, you and Mrs. W. are deserving all praise. Lovingly, my dear child, Mother Mary." Shortly after Mrs. Eddy had left them, the students had published in the Lynn Union the resolutions adopted the previous November. Great success in their work followed this public acknowledgement of an affirmation of loyalty to their leader. The women were carrying the work forward. Woman's hour had come. On the 15th of March, Mrs. Eddy wrote from Philadelphia to Clara Choate, who was also living and working in Boston. "It is glorious to see what the women alone are doing here for temperance. More than ever man has done. This is the period of women. They are to move and carry all the great moral and Christian reforms. I know it. Now, darling, let us work as the industrious suffragists are at work, who are getting a hearing all over the land. Let us work as they do, in love, preferring one another. Let us work shoulder to shoulder, each bearing their own part of the burdens and helping one another, and then the puny kicks of mesmerism will give up the ghost before such union. To Mrs. Choate, the quote, kicks of mesmerism, end quote, loomed rather large. Though she resisted successfully, her husband did not, and his metaphysical practice grew poorer and poorer. His situation had not improved since Mrs. Eddy had written of it to James Ackland in February. His wife told me when I was there she should have to give up getting him patients. He so neglected them, and every time injured the cause. I pity him from the depths of my heart, but can do no more than I have done for him. It is demonology and his old appetite for liquor that they bring back. He would do well but for them. As George Choate succumbed to the work of the mesmerists, Clara turned more zealously to her work. She was successful at healing, and her youth and enthusiasm were magnetic. She wrote to Mrs. Eddy of lecturing and of teaching small classes. Soon she was writing of being overwhelmed with practice and of overflow meetings with the seats all filled and many standing. On the 26th of March, the Boston Globe ran an unbiased full-page article on Christian Science. Everyone was discussing the topic. An air of excitement pervaded the city when the Eddies returned, midst much acclaim the following week. Favorable publicity was accorded the formal reception that Mrs. Choate gave for Mrs. Eddy on the evening of April 5th. The warm welcome from the faithful and the fashionable, plus the atmosphere of excitement throughout the city, caused Mrs. Eddy to write to James Ackland, quote, "This was my entry into Jerusalem. Will it be followed with the cross?" End quote.